Bring the meeting to order without a quorum. We have several things that we're to take up here, and one of them is to review the appointment of Sherilyn Mumaw, who is here, to the Board of Regents. And because I think we'll go right ahead with that, even though most of the members of the committee are not here, I think they forfeited their right to ask questions, frankly. Sherilyn, would you like to have maybe take a seat at the end of the table behind all those books, and you can see over the books? Well, only for the record, there's a mic down there to pick up your comments and so forth. You've been designated as a student regent, or as the regent, which represents the student body here. This committee has been designated along with the Health, Education, Social Services Committee to review the appointment. It's usually a fairly pro forma thing. What I'd like to do is just to ask the members who are here if they have questions of Ms. Mumaw as to what her policies would be, if she knows yet, or any other questions that are relevant to her appointment. Does anybody have any questions?
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Does she have a resume that... Do you have a resume, any kind of history, you know, where you've been, where you're going?
I'm sure you have one that the governor has, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we can get that.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Okay. Clark?
Well, kind of a general question. Why do you want to serve on the regents, the Board of Regents? What do you think you can do? You can do for that outfit?
Just give us a little bit of history. We're just off the top of your head type thing.
Okay.
Because you're my friends.
Well, as to why I wanted the position, I made a decision when I first started do something that I hadn't done when I was in high school. And I started out by getting involved in student government and then on the campus assembly. From there, it was a logical step to go to the regent position when it became open. And as to what I expect to do, I hope to be able to take a student viewpoint to the board in whatever decisions it has to make.
Thank you. I think that would be pretty critical in the university's decision-making process, how it affected the students, which seems to be what it's all about.
Now, in your...
Mr. Swanson.
Now, in your... Because you know we are, and have been for the last 2 years, in a real critical financial situation in the... with the university's budget. It's not going to get, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Maybe we can level a thing off now, maybe not. What would be your approach to the actions that we take here? Because you're going to be a student representative, would you be able to take a look at the amount of monies that we would allow? And if it became necessary, would you be able to cut programs that is going to fit inside of the amount of money appropriate to the university?
My primary concern with any budgetary decisions would be that the level of education would not in any way be harmed. As to what I would do, I think my main question would be why are the decisions being made, whoever makes those decisions. In the case of the legislature, why is the legislature making cuts and why do they feel they have to be made in particular areas? And I hope that I would be able to go to whatever departments are getting the information and ask them why was this information given or what is this like, and I could come up with a decision.
That's a plus answer.
Okay. I had one question. You are, of course, sort of presumed to represent all the students throughout Alaska. Would it be your intention to go by and check with students here at Juneau and students at Fairbanks to see what they feel about different issues that are before the regents?
Very definitely. That's why when you first made the appointment for Wednesday, I asked them to move to Tuesday because I'd already made appointments to meet with the student body in Fairbanks on Wednesday. And I met with the students in Anchorage on that Thursday.
Do you feel like that you'll be able to sort of make your own independent decisions on that board? And by that I mean not be intimidated perhaps by some of the other members of the board? I would like to note for the record that we have a quorum. Okay, are there further questions of Ms. Mumma? If they're not, thank you very much for appearing before the committee.
Thank you.
I appreciate the candor of your answers. You were very good. The next matter that I'd like to take up at this time is House Bill 642. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Appropriation. I believe Mr. Leekus is cleaning your thing. I'm looking at this bill. It's House Bill 642.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Leekus.
Mr. Chairman, the committee may remember you appointed a subcommittee of Representative Green and myself, and we had a liaison sort of associate member and Representative Nackak, who's highly concerned about this bill. The problem with it was that we considered that the agency is doing an excellent job in Anchorage and in the urban and southern areas of the state, and I think everyone supports very strongly the program. The problem was that we felt that even though they've made attempts in terms of their policy changes to increase and stimulate the housing in the rural areas, their funding of that housing, that as a matter of fact, it hasn't really accomplished much because of some institutional and other kinds of barriers to increasing the stimulating housing in the rural areas. So we met on that question and tried to develop some sort of way around that. And I think it was the feeling of Representative Greening and myself and Mr. Nackak, if I could speak for them, that we came to at least an agreement on a proposal that we think has some merit. But part of the proposal is that since they are under a very strenuous time constraint in regards to the supplemental appropriation, we thought it would be good if we try to expedite it through the House and get it out as soon as possible, and that's the reason for this meeting. We can go into our proposal in regards to the rural areas if you like, but primarily what we'd like to see happen right now is this the supplemental appropriation get moving through the House since the very deadline, I think the last deadline is the 8th, March 8th on it. And Clark or Morrell may have something to add.
All right. Mr. Green.
Well, I just have a question. Russ, don't we have a committee substitute we prepared on this?
We do have a committee substitute. I'm not sure if it's been sent to the committee or not.
Here's essentially the recommendation for it. I can't find it in my file. It's to take out Section 2. And renumber accordingly so that the fiscal year 79 appropriation is still a matter of negotiation. And that's one of the points we wanted to make, whereas they need the Section 1 money immediately. And we're working with the fact the board's going to meet with us in dealing with this problem that Russ has outlined. But in order to not foreclose the discussion of that matter, we wanted to take out Section 2. That's the only change in the committee substitute.
Okay, now, would it be then your recommendation that we take up the FY79 appropriation to AHFC in the context of the budget, or do you want to do it separately?
Mr. Chairman, we would like to do it separately, although we discussed that either vehicle would be appropriate. We'd like to do it separately. We have specific conditions and letters of intent to go along with it, and we'd like to have separate hearings with the whole Finance Committee, although it's a matter of policy if you wish we could do it through the budget. But we'd like to, I think, sponsor a Finance Committee bill introduce it and send it back to ourselves for discussion, get the board members together, because I think although we've talked to the executive director, Mr. Sullivan, it's very important that the board understand our concerns. And this is a very new direction we're moving in, that is direct loans to the rural areas in a pilot program with hard general fund dollars, not borrowed money, but general fund dollars being used for the pilot program. And I think it's very important that they be behind it, understand our intent and the historical view that we have in terms of the legislation, the authorization, and those types of things that we discussed with Mr. Sullivan. So that would be the recommendation to delete from line 16 down on House Bill 642, just leaving in the supplemental, and then we're having drafted another bill that the Finance Committee could introduce, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make a motion on that. I think we want to leave in the effective date clause. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we delete in the parent committee substitute for 642, deleting section 2, renumbering section 3, to read section 1 of this act takes effect immediately, and then deleting that portion of section 3, which talks about section 2.
Okay. Mr. Green moves then and asks unanimous consent that we report out a committee substitute for House Bill 642, which would contain the present section 1 of the bill and also the first part of the present section 3 of the bill. The bill, therefore, would contain the present section 1 and section 2 of the bill. Committee substitute would read as follows. It would read as follows. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 01.10.07C. Okay, is there objection to the motion? All right, if there's no objection to the motion carries. How many due passes do we have? That looks like a majority due pass. So we'll play it like that. All right, Mr. Meekins, do you want to receive committee authorization to put in that second bill
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I think it would be appropriate to briefly go over the lines of the bill that we're having drafted for the members so they can decide whether they wish to approve it or not. And I don't have the list before me. We gave that to Legislative Affairs, but from memory, we're going to put in the section 2, which would be the appropriation for FY79, would be $2,880,000. We'd split that into two equal sections, 1.440. Appropriate the first one without any conditions. The second one would be appropriated with some conditions in it. The reason we did that is we want to make a conditional appropriation, but we don't want to hinder the program. So we want to give them some money to keep going so that they can have time to respond to the condition. We don't want to have some technicality where there's a condition and there's a question of whether or not they've actually met the conditions of the appropriation, and so they have a month where they don't have any funds or something. So in order to alleviate that, we're appropriating half of it, which should get them till October, we figured, something like that. And they know about it, of course, way before the end of the fiscal year. Split that, but the second half would have a condition. The condition being that the appropriation is dependent upon the startup of this direct loan program in the rural areas. Then we have an appropriation of, was it 3 million, Clark?
Yeah, that's
I think we agreed on 3 million. It's a tentative figure. We'd like to get input as to what the figure should be, but we tentatively agreed to $3 million, which would be general fund money to start this direct loan program into the rural areas and through AHFC. Now this would be a separate entity. It would not be confused with their current program, because we don't want whatever financial problems or lack of security there is in the rural areas to hurt the financing of the present program, which has been a concern of the board of directors and the chairman of the board quite a bit. Also, we were, of course, working on title insurance problems, which are some of the institutional barriers, and also some methods of, we feel that one of the real problems has been that in the rural areas, for a number of very practical reasons, the banks have not been very aggressive in some areas. But we feel that with our emphasis in a direct loan program, that one of the side benefits of this would be to stimulate a more competitive attitude in the banks, and that perhaps they would pick up any of those loans that they could, but are reluctant to do now. and we're also considering a mortgage for the future. If this pilot program does demonstrate some viability, we're considering a state mortgage guarantee fund. They're very similar to the one that we have now for the program that's in the urban and suburban areas for the rural areas, so that they could go to the bond market if it looks like it's possible to do that with this guarantee.
Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, do I understand you correctly that we're going to amend Section 2 out, and then is your suggestion going to come back in the form of a new piece of legislation, or is it going to come back as a new Section 2?
No, Mr. Swanson, the motion was for the Finance Committee to approve a new bill in its name.
It is a bill.
Yes, it is.
Then, Mr. Chairman, when could we expect to see that bill come before the committee? I would hate to approve an idea, not just for the sake of our committee more than anything else.
I think it's understood that the vote on approving the sponsorship of the bill is not the same thing as approving the bill itself. We have a pretty extensive hearing process to go through before we approve the bill itself. But we need to get it in the hopper in order to consider it, and that's what this motion is all about.
Mr. Chairman, one thing I might add, when we were considering this, and I think this is one of the departures in the attitude between the legislators historically, and particularly those who are involved in the subcommittee, and the board of directors and the executive director of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. They have a very extensive authorization. I've got here, 25 or 30 pages of legislation in the statute that empowers them to do a variety of things. Now, of the, I think there's 24 powers that they have. Of the 24 powers delineated in the statute, they're utilizing one power, and actually it's a subsection of one of those numbers. So they're utilizing that very small aspect of their powers, which is to be a secondary market for mortgages and to purchase mortgages from the financial institution. But they're empowered to do a wide range of things, and it's obvious when you read the statute that the legislation, the intent of legislation, was that they should remedy some of the problems we have with housing in the rural areas and also in other areas of the state. And yet they haven't been able to do that because they've limited their scope to this very small portion. So this was a key element in the debate, or in the discussion. It wasn't a debate, but in the discussion with the executive director, was that we see it as a solution to some of these problems. They see it as a money machine, limited in scope. And I think this will be the critical question before the committee when we do discuss that new legislation.
Okay. Are there any questions that relate to whether the committee should sponsor the bill or not? Not interested in the merits of the bill right now. Is there anybody that has an objection, for instance?
All you're asking, here, Mr. Chairman, is if we okay a sponsor substitute, or finance bill.
A finance committee bill, right, which will then be referred back to the committee for consideration. Okay, there is a motion on that. Is there objection to the motion? All right, if there's no objection to the motion, then the finance committee will sponsor such a bill. It will be referred back to the committee and will consider it at that time. While we're at it, before some of the members came in, we did have a hearing with Ms. Cheryl Newmall, who is here, and she is the appointee to the Board of Regents. I would like to move at this time that the committee recommend her confirmation, and that I'd be authorized to write a letter to the Speaker confirming that. Move, make that motion, and I ask unanimous consent. Is there objection to the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have no objection, but perhaps did Sharon have a chance to state anything that she'd like to bring up? I know that there may be controversies that arise that she wishes to tell the committee, so that on the floor of the House, if some questions do arise, we would have responses to them, and perhaps there isn't anything, but perhaps there is, and she'd know it better than we, and I'd like to provide her an opportunity to make a statement.
She's had it already, you're just late.
Well, I think I see what you're getting. Incidentally, the House Committee is also looking at this
confirmation. Mr. Chairman, some of the controversies have been brought up to me. I'm satisfied completely, and I don't want to bring it up as if I'm concerned about it. about some of these questions. I don't think they're very significant at all, but if she thought they were, perhaps we should discuss that.
Okay, Ms. Mumaugh, do you have any such comments?
Okay.
Well, I can make an assumption is that if somebody felt that something had to be brought up to you, yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to ask a question. I've been reading some materials and might be asked about the possible split between Anchorage and Fairbanks. Could you comment on that, or is it appropriate to ask that question?
I think you might elaborate on that a bit.
Well,
I'm not sure I understand.
People are saying that Anchorage should be on its own, should separate from the Fairbanks campus and should have its own administration, and it should be run by its own accord. I just wonder if this comes about in the Board of Regents. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if this is an appropriate question to ask her, but I don't know. Probably not. Don't
answer
if you don't feel like
you have to. Well, I think Ms. Mumaugh wants to answer that. Perhaps you might confer
privately. I think, Mr. Chairman, she answered it when we put the question to her a while ago, that what are her priorities as a student regent? When we were dealing money problems and area problems and things like that, is the concern going to be with the student, or is it going to be a political? And she told us that her concerns was with the benefit for the beneficial of the student.
Okay, is there objection to the motion previously made? Okay, if there's no objection to it, I will write a letter recommending the confirmation of Ms. Mumaugh as a member of the Board of Regents for the University of Alaska. I promised that I'd break this meeting up in time for people to go over the Capitol Site Selection Committee, but briefly, I'd like to bring up, I was going to bring up the subcommittee schedules, but maybe we can get at that tomorrow. House Bill 133, the Municipal Lands Bill, will be taken up tomorrow. Russ, have you got anything that you think we ought to
discuss right now, Mr. Chairman? I do have a committee substitute being drafted.
Okay.
And some other possibilities. And, I mean, that's being prepared. We've been working, I know Earl's been working on some things, and we've tried to incorporate that into the new bill, and a lot of people have different suggestions at this point. Whether the committee, whether they want to discuss that now or not.
No, I just want to establish a format for tomorrow.
Right,
so that we know what we're going to get into tomorrow. Tomorrow it would be my intention to bring up to a vote any suggested committee substitutes.
Well, I'll be ready in terms of my committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. Take a best shot at it. If the committee doesn't like it, then we'll just have to pass out something else.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. On the committee substitute, I don't know just how you're going to handle that, but as I told you earlier, I have some ideas of my own that I'm working this bill, and I don't necessarily want to be in a position of voting yes or no on a committee substitute without having a chance to work.
By that I meant any, I guess what I'm saying is that I want to put the thing to a vote one way or the other tomorrow, regardless of what it looks like when it gets out here. Mr. Shaker.
As everybody knows, I've got a committee substitute too. I will have somebody here that can expound on it. I don't know what.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in the makeup of that, to Mr. Meekins, I don't know how we would approach it, but in testimony from Anchorage, legal counsel at the table when I put the question of what would they do with their $12 million that you say use it to buy land back for green belts and parks. And I have some terrible misgivings about, because they gave their land to the parks to start with. I got a hang up on that type of
attitude. He just was talking.
Well,
he can't guarantee it.
We'll have
I would
to
like to see some safeguards written into the bill.
Okay.
No, they didn't give their land to the parks.
Okay, so we're going to vote on this thing tomorrow, is what I'm saying. All right, the meeting is adjourned. testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm getting any, so I'm gonna avoid it.
Being to order. By the matter under consideration, be House Bill 133 once again. After we're through with that, or if we reach a point where we can't go anyplace else, the next bill to come up will be House Bill 704. Following that will be House Bill 622, the North-South Runway. And if we get to it, House Bill 773, which is a relatively minor appropriation, should take a few minutes. Now, the following bills we're going to have to take up this week also, and I'd like to suggest a time of 8:30 Friday morning. How's that going to suit the committee's schedule? It doesn't seem to conflict with anything up there.
Fine with me. Friday morning.
Okay, 8:30 Friday morning, we will take up the following bills. House Bill 25, Retirement Sick Leave. House Bill 652, the Steering Council Appropriation. Senate Bill 436, Kotzebue Pioneers Home. House Bill 760, Registration Tax on Motor Vehicles, and if Representative Greening wants it, House Bill 516, the Office of Appropriate Technology. Okay, on House Bill 133, the Municipal Lands Bill, the bill before us, once again, is the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute that reached this committee late last year. Who has suggested committee substitutes? Mr. Meekins.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't draft a committee substitute, but I have some amendments, and the one crucial one, of course, is the change in the numbers of acres. I think there are other members that have other amendments. I don't know which order you'd like to proceed in, but I'm prepared to pass mine out and discuss them if you want to do that.
All right, do you have things to pass out?
Right.
All right, if you do that.
Question, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday we informed that we were going to come with a committee substitute and work those into a bill by Mr. Meekins, but at sometime during the session this morning he informed us that everybody was going to do their own amendments, and we never got off the floor till noon. I would like an opportune time, sometime either before the bill moves out of the committee, to propose some amendments, because he was supposed to come with a committee substitute that we could work on.
Well, I think it's up to the committee on amendments in any event. We're going to have to work off the bill that's in front of us until a committee substitute is approved by the committee. If there's not one that's been drafted, then we'll have to accept it in amendment form, right? It was my understanding there wouldn't be one drafted.
Yeah, well, Red's got a good point there. Just to explain how I came to this, is that I was trying to draft a committee substitute that would please everybody, but of course that was a sort of a stupid thing to attempt. And every time you draft a bill like this, every time you draft anything that you're even thinking about, people take it and carve it in stone somewhere and think that you really believe in it. So, you know, I would toss around an idea and get it drafted, and 15,000 people would call me and tell me they're never going to vote for me again or whatever. So I decided the best thing to do is just get together what I thought were good amendments and put them in. And if anybody else was concerned about, as Red is, about the unorganized borough, or as Oral is about private land, if they could make their amendments, and we could just take up all the amendments, and whatever came out of it, that'd be the committee substitute, rather than trying to make one bill that everybody would shoot at. So, but because I decided that, and I think it is appropriate that people concerned about the issues make their own amendments, but Red, I had told him previously that I was drafting something in a committee substitute to take care of his concern. And I told him during the session that I wasn't going to do that, and he hasn't had time to prepare his amendments. So I can understand where, you know, he needs a little time to do that, because I sort of misled him in that sense.
Well, let's see, Mr. Chairman, they'll be drafted while we...
What kinds of amendments we have here. Okay, we got to start someplace. So the place to start is the bill that's before the committee. Technically, I suppose the original bill is before the committee, but I'm going to, unless there's serious objection, I'm going to assume that we start with the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute. Now, Mr. Schaefer also has either a bill, a whole substitute bill, or some amendments. How's that going
to
run?
Well, I have proposed a committee substitute, but judging from the sentiments of the different members here, I don't think it was survived. However, we do have some amendments to the existing House Bill 133 as proposed, and we'll take it.
And you'd rather do that way, because what I'd like to do is, if there's a suggested committee substitute for the bill, I'd like to take those up first. Otherwise, we'll deal off the existing bill and just make amendments. Do you want to go ahead with the whole committee substitute? Well, I think that really the amendments that were made in the suggested committee substitute were had to do with the acreage change and a change in the standards, I believe. Isn't that mainly what it was?
Yeah, but like I said earlier, you know, we have some suggested amendments to the existing bill that's before us now.
Okay.
Should take care of those things.
Okay. All right. Mr. Meekins, I'd
like to explain this before people read it and start deciding that people before I have a chance to defend their time.
Yeah,
that'd
be a good idea.
You should have been given two handouts. One is one page, and the other is five pages long. The five page one is essentially three amendments to the committee substitute. The first amendment deals with mental health lands, as the committee discussed before. The second one deals with school lands. And the third one is the operative critical question, and that is a new formula to determine entitlements. And that's what I'd like to talk about, because I think there are others who have suggested amendments in regards to school lands and mental health lands, and I haven't had a chance to read them, and I don't know whether they're better than mine or what. So I'd just like to talk about the formula, since that's an important question here.
Well, what I'd like to do, Russ, is okay. I'd like to take them up one at a time.
So we can do that.
Take the first one first and so forth. These are the mental health amendments. And I'd like for you to explain what the amendments do and why you think it's sound public policy to adopt them, and then we'll go ahead to another question.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask if it's possible if Mr. Smith has comments that he could make in regards to these two sections.
Yes, I'd like to invite Mr. Smith to comment, frankly, as though he's sitting at the table. He can't sit at the table because we don't have enough chairs.
Mr. Chairman, I think the committee members will remember that Chairman of the Mental Health Board, Matt Schumer, came forth with a suggested amendment. That was that you could trade, a municipality could select mental health land within the municipality if the mental health board were compensated. In other words, they would trade land of equal value somewhere else in the state. But of course, the mental health board would have to approve that. They would have veto power over any such selection. But if it was, he pointed out that the mental health board didn't really care whether they had the land within Anchorage or whether it was not in Anchorage, somewhere else in the state, as long as it was of equal value and gave them the same return in terms of money. So I thought that was a great idea, and that's what this amendment on mental health lands is trying to encompass. Now the same thing goes for school lands, basically the same provisions. It's a little more complicated, I'm told, in school lands, and there are some other amendments that have to be made. I don't know exactly what they are. I think Mr. Chenoweth has dealt with that, and I think Mr. Smith has a
a separate amendment deals with the same thing, they may want to explain that a little more.
Let me, I'd like to get some indication by the members of the committee what they want to do about the I think we may be getting into things that we ought to address in a separate bill. And I'm speaking of the mental health land. I don't suggest that we sit around and talk about it, but that we authorize the bill to be drawn under the aegis of the Finance Committee and bring it back up here and consider it in due course. That would be the amendment suggested by the Mental Health Advisory Council and perhaps some of these other matters relating to school land. That's just my idea. Mr. Green?
Yeah. I think there's one drawback to that, and that I think some of our feelings toward this bill will be guided by how the land can be selected. And at least in Anchorage's case, and I think Southeastern has the same problem, to the extent that these lands are available, really makes the entitlement, whatever figures we set, meaningful. So I was thinking that maybe as long as we have the present approval required by the present board, which consists of the, head of the State Mental Health Association and the Commissioner of Natural Resources and one other person.
Revenue.
Okay, so you've got three people. Now, that isn't the same advisory board or the same approval board that Mr. Grunberg was talking about. But I think we could take up a revision of that matter at a later time. But I do think we ought to set the principle that these lands would be available, providing that the appropriate body approves it. Maybe take up the appropriate question of which is the appropriate body at a later time. That's right. Just my thought on it.
Mr. Schaefer.
I'm just curious. What actual municipalities or boroughs are really affected by this amendment for us?
Well, I know Juneau is, and I think some other southeastern cities are. Sitka and Ketchikan and Anchorage, of course, is also. There may be others. I think in Southeast it's basically the mental health lands that are the critical part. In Anchorage it's both. There's good mental health land, but not very much of it in the borders of the municipality. But there's up to 2,000 acres of schooling. Now, you know, just because we make it possible doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, the board could say, no, we don't want to do that. We like that land where it is, and we're not going to trade no matter what you offer us. And that's that very well may happen. This just allows the municipalities to select that land if, at the discretion of the mental health board or the school board, they deem it a good trade and they don't think that their interests are being hurt. And they can do it.
Okay.
Just a question.
Yeah, right.
How did Petersburg and Rival come out of this deal?
On the mental health question? Or the whole thing.
Maybe. Mike, what is the situation at Petersburg and Ragland?
Well, the municipal boundaries of those communities are such now that for all intents and purposes there are no state lands within them. So basically this bill does not address them as we're basically addressing state lands that are within municipal boundaries.
And the Boundary Commission just recently in the Petersburg annexation denied them the ability to reach far enough to get into where they had availability of state land.
I would think that had...
And there's mental health land within the area that's really cumbersome within the incorporated limit at the moment, no? And I raised the question of a Band-Aid treatment the other day, and the more I think we've got a Band-Aid operation going here. And we've got the proper way to resolve the whole thing would have been to do what the Constitution said, that the legislature or the administration draw those borough lines. And that's, I imagine we're not going to get back to that point. I'm not going to hinder what you've done up to this point. I'd like to hear it all, but I just wanted to have it clear in my mind where I stood at the moment.
Well, I have a question along that line. Mike, is there, maybe I should know this already, but is there national forest selection going on in the vicinity of Wrangell and Petersburg?
Yes.
Yes, there was. I can give you approximate acreage, but again, most of this will be adjacent to their boundaries, plus in the Petersburg is about 11,800, and Wrangell is about 16,400.
Okay. If it's necessary, I would suppose we could take care of, I mean, those selections won't have been approved by the time we get through with this, but I would suppose we could come back to separate legislation if we needed to address that.
It might logically be included in the point Representative Swanson has raised, and that is how we handle in the future, and that would be, that should be all included in when we address that question.
Okay.
Can be addressed certainly.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Mr. Green. But you're saying that it's the question of the unorganized borough ought to be addressed in this legislation?
The red.
Mr. Swanson said that, and I mean, I think that would be an appropriate question.
We're not there yet, I think.
I think we're still talking.
We might take that up first.
It's okay with me, but I think we ought to stick to one. There's so many amendments here, we could get into.
All right.
Stay them one by one.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if there are, if everyone understands the intent of this language, well, before I make the motion, I'd like to ask Mr. Smith if you got a chance to read our language. I know you have some language doing the same thing, and I don't know if you have any comments on which one's better.
I have a question, Russ. Mechanical here. Number one and number two that I have, it looks like are they separate paragraphs or what are they? They seem to be going in at the same place.
They do, Mr. Chairman. That would be, they're both adopted.
Okay. That's
fine.
That clears that up.
Mr. Chairman, along that line, looking at the proposed amendments here, and looking at the committee substitute we have before us, on the number one page of the proposed amendment, beginning on line 10, the approval or disapproval of patents by the director under 8 of the second. Then I look at the section 6 on page 6, beginning on line 1. It speaks of the convention of the first regular session of the 11th, and then the first and second of the 12th. I'm confused by this.
I didn't follow that.
I believe I followed it, at least to the extent you're talking about the sessions of the legislature. This bill, of course, was drafted to pass last year. We submitted a list of recommendations for technical changes like that some 2 weeks ago to the committee in letter form, about 8 kind of minor technical changes, which would clear that up, because we are, of course, a year later. Those do not read correctly at this time.
Mr. Chairman, to follow that, excuse me.
Mr. Guy. Did you want
to? I want to respond to his first question. All right. That is this. We have in the amendment said that after G, pages or lines 9 and so or 19 and so forth, reletter subsequent subsections and correct the internal cross references. So that the H that you referred to, Phil, at the top of the page is not the same H that's referred to in the amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's what I was getting at. I went to. Unless I missed a page. I went through these proposed amendments to the bill before us, and I feel to see in section H.
Mr. Chairman, in inserting the amendment, either of the amendments, this is why I wish to do that committee substitute. In the original committee substitute at page 4, that line 22, F would become H. The section mark, the subsection marked F would become H. The subsection marked G on the next page would become I, and the subsection H
on page 6 would become J. We would just continue to update the subsections accordingly.
Correct. Okay.
So the H reference in the amendment is to the material beginning on page 4, line 22, reviewing a municipal selection, the director shall consider the state's responsibilities and so forth, which would become H if this amendment is applied.
Mr. Chairman, I think maybe we should adopt a policy that we normally do, that any of those kinds of technical changes in the committee substitute that we eventually direct legislative affairs to write, they would make those necessary technical amendments, because we're going to run into that all over. We try to keep making amendments, and I think it's understood that that's what we
need. I think we can clear that up. I think we just get policy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have the same question, Phil. Does that clear that up, Phil?
Maybe more.
Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Smith could address that other question on which amendment he would prefer.
Yes, Mr. Smith, you have comments on these proposed amendments first.
We don't have any problem with the concept involved. We began looking at this actually last week, and we have drafted an amendment that we feel does not only that, but goes a little bit further. What we would like to do is address all of the trust lands, not just school and mental health. Trust lands are a problem throughout the state, and as long as the trust board must give their permission, we think it's appropriate, because we can work an exchange with the trust board internally much easier than can a community if they have problems. So our language just goes to that form. I'd like, if I could, just pass that out. All right. There is one aspect in here which goes a step further, and that is the realization that the trust lands are probably the most valuable economic lands that the state holds today, and that the community grants, as stated in existing law, talk about vacant, unreserved, and unappropriated lands, which generally have a substantially smaller value. There is a clause in here which would say that any lands that a municipality selects from the trust, they are required, well, the director is directed to charge them each acre that they receive, 3 acres against their entitlement, because of the very high value of the trust lands involved.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, maybe it would be better if you came up to the table here. Would that be okay? Just sat at the end of the table with Lisa Brown. This might be easier.
I've got a few more copies of this.
What, if anything, okay, what is the difference between your amendment and Mr. Meekin's amendments, the two?
My amendment would expand the trust lands to include university, in other words, all three trusts. Otherwise, I see them identical, with the exception of the last point I mentioned, that the ratio of charge for an acre of mental health, instead of it being 1-to-1, would be 3-to-1. That's the only substantive difference.
Okay, Mr. Green, doesn't this, Mike, include more than, it also includes school lands, doesn't it? It
includes all three trust lands, school, okay. University, and mental health.
Yeah. From what you just last said, it sounded like it's just mental health that would be credited.
No, I'm sorry.
One and three, okay.
No, just.
Mr.
Chenoweth? Yeah, Mr.
Lincoln. Could I ask Mr. Chenoweth, who drafted the language of my amendment, to comment if he sees any differences between the two?
Well, the two that Mike observed are the principal ones, along with the time limitations built into his in terms of the designation of replacement land and the like. But essentially, those two points, the addition of the university lands and
the calculation of the substitution of 1 acre to 3 acres of entitlement.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Kamikas?
What about the language that says vacant, that it, have to be, it would have to be vacant school, university, mental health land? Does that mean anything, or is that just, because this one over here just says may select mental health land or may select school.
Okay, the vacant really merely means that if the land is under lease for something else, it would not be selectable. In other words, if it's under lease to somebody that's got a warehouse on it, that land would not be selectable.
So that's, that would obviously be the same in both, then, yeah. What you said earlier.
Okay. Ms. Ross.
Mr. Smith, what's the rationale for the 1 to 3?
Certainly. In those areas where there are trust lands in the state, the only areas where the lands would logically be wanted and appropriate for municipal selection under the other criteria in the bill are going to be lands in very close to population centers. Those lands have extreme value involved. Other communities in selecting their lands don't have any access to that type of very, very valuable land. And the feeling was that it's up to a municipality. They can exercise their entire entitlement under general grant lands. If they wish to receive trust lands, which in many cases, particularly in the Southeast, are very appropriate to receive, that it would be logical to have some type of, we call it reduction factor, for want of a better term, in order to bring the land somewhat into line with other land values. Because land is so valuable in the trust lands inside of cities.
Mr. Macon.
Chairman, I wonder if it's appropriate if I could ask any people representing the southeastern communities if they have any comment on that besides those at the table. But just in case they do, I don't mean to keep making everything a big long discussion, but it seems to me that some of that input is important in these kind of questions.
Okay. Well, Oral's left. Just a second. I know he had some comments.
I have a question.
Mr.
In the meantime, by the way, for Oral to me. Maybe you could ask Mr. Russ on the if you select some land and the director says no, you can't have that. You can't have it. Would that be correct on line 24 and 25? You're leaving up the director under this amendment here that he can tell you whether you can have the land or not. The director shall determine whether the land selection should be approved.
State Board of Education.
Yeah.
Board of Regents.
That's right. Which, what if he doesn't want you to have the land? Is there any recourse in here?
All right. Mr. Duncan,
Chair, I was wondering, Mr. Smith, how do you arrive at 3-1? Is that just an arbitrary ratio?
It's probably a conservative estimate of the average value of a mental health acre. It's probably closer to 5 or 10 to 1. We came up with 3 as somewhat rational. I had some discussion with some representatives, assemblymen, et cetera, from some of the southeast communities, and they agreed that the value is probably much higher, and not that they've agreed that that is the value, but we felt that would be appropriate.
They agreed that the value is much higher?
It could logically be considerably higher. If you look at where the land is, that would most logically
be. I'm wondering, could we take a few minutes to look at some of that land? Lee Sharp's here, and he has a map of, you know, I'd like to see where some of that mental health land is. It's not clear in my mind that it is that.
I just happen to have a map of mine, too.
And Earl has a map of his.
Okay, well, what we're talking about is if the various trust boards approve, then you can pick those lands, but it counts 3 times, right? All right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you don't pick the entire entitlement, they'd get 6,000 acres.
You get 1/3.
1/3. Oh, you get 1/3.
Yeah. But they would be, they don't have to. It's up to them whether they want the very valuable lands in the heart of the town or whether they would rather have some lands further away.
Do we have valuable land in the heart of the town?
Mr. Chairman, could Mr. Smith, while Mr. Sharp is getting his map up, could Mr. Smith answer if there was a comment on the question about whether it's...
Hi, people seem to want to confer. I'm going to call a recess here for about 5 minutes.